This is the RTE News at 1 with Brian Dobson. Good afternoon. The headlines this Friday lunchtime. An aid ship carrying nearly 200 tons of supplies has arrived off the coast of Gaza. After 95 days of witness hearings, the coroner in the Stardust inquest has begun summing up the evidence. And Irish construction workers abroad are being urged to return to Ireland to help build homes and reach home building targets. The news in detail with Vivian Traynor.
A ship towing a barge loaded with food has arrived off Gaza. The vessel is a test run for a new aid route by sea from Cyprus to the Palestinian territory where famine looms. Karen Creed reports.
The ship is bringing nearly 200 tons of food supplied by the US charity World Central Kitchen to Gaza. Its team on the ground has been building a jetty to unload the cargo because there's no functioning port in the territory. A second ship with aid is expected to sail soon. If the new sea route is successful, it's hoped it will help ease the hunger crisis that has gripped Gaza during this conflict. The Hamas-run health ministry has said there have been at least 27 deaths in recent weeks from malnutrition and dehydration, most of them children. Israel says it welcomes the creation of a maritime corridor and that it's facilitating the transfer of aid to Gaza while its forces continue to fight Hamas. Meanwhile, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has downplayed the chances of a truce in Gaza after Hamas gave what it called a comprehensive vision to mediators. Mr. Netanyahu's office said Hamas was still holding unrealistic demands.
The coroner in the Stardust inquests has begun her summary of the evidence for the jury as the almost year-long proceedings edge closer to a conclusion. It's expected Dr. Myra Cullinan will address the jury for a number of days, after which they'll then retire to deliberate on a verdict. Conor Hunt reports.
At the start of today's proceedings, the coroner said there had been 95 days of witness hearings and evidence from over 370 witnesses. Dr. Cullinan said the evidence had been vast and often distressing and said the jury had displayed a great commitment. Addressing the jurors, she said they had the most important role at these inquests and said we've now reached a point where that role crystallises, saying they were the arbiters of the facts. The coroner also said that she would be instructing them on matters of law, what findings they are entitled to make, and what verdicts are available to be returned. It's expected this process of charging the jury will take some time and run over a number of days next week. It will then be over to the jury, who will then retire and deliberate on a verdict. How long that will take is unclear, but what is known is that after hearing lots of evidence, they have a lot to weigh up. Conor Hunt, RTE News.
Irish construction workers abroad are being urged to return here to help with home building targets. The government also wants more people here to consider a career in construction. Our London correspondent, John Kilrain.
A total of €750,000 is being provided for the Careers in Construction programme to try to get more people working in the industry. Minister for Higher Education Simon Harris was in London today meeting with Irish building workers. He said many Irish workers who left Ireland during the economic crash are still working on building sites around the world. Part of the programme will be used to see if there are any barriers to getting these workers to return home. It will also involve a social media campaign to encourage more people into the industry. Minister Harris said it's a myth that construction is a boom and bust career or that it is for a certain gender. He said it's vital to support people in the sector so that the state can meet its housing for all targets. John Kilrain, RT News, London.
A fifth case of measles has been confirmed here by the HSE. A measles catch-up vaccination programme for around 300,000 people is due to begin next week, given the rise in cases in the UK and Europe. Kingston Mills, Professor of Experimental Immunology at Trinity College in Dublin, has said the MMR vaccine has 97% efficacy, making it one of the most effective vaccines. However, he warned of the risks for the minority of people who have not been vaccinated and are vulnerable.
people that are at most at risk are the very young, so in particular less than 1 year of age, women who are pregnant and immunocompromised. So if they get infected, you know, the risks of fatalities are greater. 1 in 1,000 people that get measles can die from it. But immunocompromised people don't respond to the vaccine as well, so they're less likely to have immunity. So they're particularly vulnerable.
Gardaí are appealing for witnesses after a fatal crash in County Donegal. A pedestrian died after being struck by a lorry on the R245 near Letterkenny shortly before 6 o'clock this morning. The man, aged in his 30s, was pronounced dead at the scene. Two people have been taken to hospital in Galway after a car entered the River Corrib on the outskirts of the city. The occupants of the vehicle, a woman in her 30s and a man in his 40s, are being treated at University Hospital Galway. The woman is said to be in a critical condition, while the man's injuries are not thought to be life-threatening. And now the weather.
RTE Radio 1 weather with Grant. Building a new home? Trust Grant to help you on your heating journey with their home heating design service. Visit grant.ie.
Mainly dry with sunny spells this afternoon. Highest temperatures of 9 to 13 degrees in moderate northwest winds easing later. Brian.
Thank you, Vivian. Still to come this lunchtime, as an aid ship from Cyprus approaches Gaza and Australia resumes funding the UN's Palestinian Refugee Agency, the chair of the Elders, former President Mary Robinson, on the humanitarian crisis in the besieged territory. Parents of children with special educational needs concerned at the provision of secondary school places for next year. The latest from West Cork on the falling of that suspected drug smuggling operation. Dublin's Cleary's department store reopens, but not as we knew it. And the rising cost of the full Irish breakfast this St. Patrick's weekend.
Rights-based and recovery-focused, St. Patrick's Mental Health Services is Ireland's largest independent mental health care provider. We're looking for registered psychiatric nurses interested in working across a range of mental health specialities. With competitive starting salaries, flexible hours and plenty of opportunities for career advancement, visit stpatricks.ie/careers.
Get super spring deals on home appliances and big screen TVs at Harvey Norman. Like the cinematic Samsung 65-inch Neo QLED Smart TV for $2,899 and claim a €200 Harvey Norman gift card. Enjoy exceptional taste with the Zanussi Oven and Hot Pack. Was $519, now $479. Or save with the Ninja Large Capacity Air Fryer. Was $179, now €99. With interest-free finance terms available and our best prices guaranteed, why shop anywhere else? Super Spring Deals now on at Harvey Norman.
St. Patrick's Cathedral Choir School is currently enrolling for third and fourth class. Choristers receive world-class musical training whilst being educated in Ireland's oldest national school. Begin their lifelong love of music today by visiting stpatrickscathedral.ie/sing for more information. St. Patrick's Cathedral, where tradition meets excellence.
Hello again, you're listening to the news at 1. The first ship carrying aid for Gaza across a new maritime corridor has been seen off the coast of the territory today. The Spanish vessel is towing 200 tonnes of food supplied by an American charity, World Central Kitchen. More than 300,000 people are still in northern Gaza, surviving on very little food. This man is one of those waiting for the aid to be delivered.
I want the aid for my children. I want them to live and not to die of hunger. All they're eating is wild plants. There's no bread. There's nothing to eat in Gaza. I mean, this is the month of Ramadan and there's nothing. Even in the market, there's nothing to buy.
With concerns growing about the worsening humanitarian crisis, Australia has said it's resuming funding the main UN aid agency in Gaza, UNRWA. It paused funding 2 months ago after Israel claimed that some UNRWA staff had been involved in the October 7th Hamas attacks on Israel. Announcing the decision to unfreeze $6 million in emergency funding, the Australian Foreign Minister Penny Wong said that she had been advised that UNRWA is not a terrorist organisation.
Israel has provided some information. Everything we have been provided with has been considered in the context of this decision. It is also a prime consideration to recognise that we have children and families who are starving, and we have a capacity, along with the international community, to assist them. And we know that UNRWA is central and vital to delivering that assistance to the people who need it.
The Australian Foreign Minister Penny Wong speaking today. Well, I'm joined here in studio by the Chair of the Elders, former President of Ireland, Mary Robinson. A very good afternoon to you, Mrs. Robinson, and welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
You spoke to us in the days after the October 7th attack and condemned what happened as a war crime, but said that there could be no justification for collective punishment on the people of Gaza. Now, since then, according to the Gaza Health Ministry, more than 31,000 Palestinians have died. Israel believes an estimated 100 of its citizens are still being held hostage in Gaza. Ceasefire talks have failed to produce a cessation. 5 months on, what's your message to both sides in this conflict?
Well, thank you, Brian. I want to take off my hat, if I may, as Eruptron, and just speak, as you've introduced me, as Chair of the Elders. We're lucky enough as elders to get quite a lot of specialist briefing. And this morning was another occasion when, with several elders, I listened to one of the key people working on this. Yes, the humanitarian situation is utterly catastrophic and dire, reducing a people to famine, undermining all our values. But the message I want to deliver is, on behalf of the elders, a direct message to our Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar. He's going to be seeing President Biden later today. He should not spend too much time on the dire humanitarian situation and the ships and the rest of it. We all know that. Mm-hmm. He has an opportunity to deliver a political message in a very direct way. The United States can influence Israel by not continuing to provide arms. It has provided a lot of the arms, bombs and other arms that have been used on the Palestinian people. And he's continuing to do that. He's also providing money. This government of Prime Minister Netanyahu is on the wrong side of history completely, making the United States complicit in reducing a people to famine, making the world complicit. We're all watching. It is absolutely horrific what is happening. So Leo Varadkar has access today to President Biden, and he will have access during the next few days and give the shamrock on Sunday. He must use this completely politically at all levels, with the Speaker of the House, with everyone, to make it clear that Israel depends on the United States for military aid and for money. That's what will change everything. We need a ceasefire, and we need the opening up of Gaza with every avenue, mainly land avenue, for aid to get in because the situation is so bad. And we need the political way forward, which is the two-state solution. So we need an Israeli government agreeing to that. Mm-hmm. And only the United States can put the pressure, and it can only be political.
You said in December that President Biden's support for Israel was, quote, losing him respect around the world. Now, there's been perhaps some shift in the US position since then. But do you believe that Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, speaking in the way that you've described directly to President Biden, will be able actually to have an impact?
Well, the Irish-American relationship is a strong one, especially with this president. He was greeted very warmly here in Ireland, both north and south. He has welcomed, as we all do, the way the executive is functioning so well under those two brilliant women. Now is the time to call in a marker and say very directly to President Biden, he may not be hearing this enough from his own people because they're worried about American politics. Mm-hmm. He has to say to him, take the risk of the politics fallout during this election, or else you will lose whatever reputation you had. He's losing it anyway with young people in Michigan and elsewhere in the United States. He's losing it with Jewish people who hate what's happening in the name of their country.
So what does President Biden need to do then, in your view, to win back people's respect, although that's not obviously the priority here? The priority is to save further lives in Gaza and in Israel.
He may just have to comply with American law. There is American law that says that arms should not be provided to a country that is blocking US aid. Israel is blocking US aid at the moment into Palestine. So, he doesn't have to take it. He can explain it in those terms to get over the political problem of doing anything to do with Israel in the United States. The urgency of this cannot be exaggerated. What is happening is appalling, and we're watching it. And the US is complicit in it already and making us all complicit. You know, when you, I mean, the briefing we got this morning also talked about the extent of the humanitarian, you know, catastrophe. And it's just not acceptable. It's very rare to have that access and to have the possibility. And I don't want to hear talk about the humanitarian situation. We all know that. I want the political message from the Taoiseach and from Irish representatives to be very clear.
And that will be for the United States to cease providing further military aid to Israel and funding, and also to call and press and use its influence for an immediate and indefinite ceasefire?
An indefinite ceasefire, and also encourage more thinking about the way forward, which means the two-state solution. This, I think, cannot happen under Prime Minister Netanyahu. He seems very opposed to the idea. I think the Israeli people are fearful about any administration in Gaza. They need to be talked to directly by somebody they trust. They trust President Biden. Let President Biden encourage the Israeli people to understand the two-state solution under a joint Fatah and Hamas administration that cuts out the war brigade of Hamas. There's also an administrative Hamas that probably have to be involved or it won't work. He has the political voice, but our Taoiseach today has access to say to him, at the first step is stop the arms supply, and it has been going on very solidly and is very responsible, and stop the money at the moment so that Israel wakes up to its realities and hopefully goes on the right track.
The situation in northern Gaza is clearly desperate.
Actually, it's beyond.
And that's what you were hearing this morning.
That's what I was hearing this morning. And schools have been destroyed, hospitals have been destroyed. Think of what the reconstruction is going to mean. Think of the steps that have to be taken. Think of the psychological traumas that have been suffered. And of course, think of the hostages. I mean, more of the Israeli hostages are dying because we haven't had the ceasefire, which the world is calling for, and which President Biden can bring about by making it clear that he no longer supports the approach. He says it, but now he has to do something about it.
But we know an actual ceasefire would have to be agreed by both Israel and Hamas, and talks on that have broken down. In fact, Israel is pressing ahead, it would seem, with preparations for a ground offensive in Rafah, about safe islands as a way of trying to protect innocent Palestinian lives. Now, is that at all an adequate response to the concerns for innocent civilians?
Yeah, we were being talked about this again this morning. I feel that if this direct political step is taken by Biden, that they're not going to provide any more military support, they're not going to provide any more budgetary support at the moment for Israel until this government changes course or there's a new government to change course, that I think will help concentrate on a ceasefire, in the sense that at the moment neither side seem to close on a ceasefire, which is vital, and as you say, there is that threat, a horrible threat on a beleaguered people. This war cannot be won the way Netanyahu has pointed out, by getting rid of Hamas. It's unreal anyway. It should never have been an objective of a war. And for too long, the United States has kind of tolerated that language. Now they have to be political and stop it.
There are other aspects of this, of course. One is the funding of the United Nations agency UNRWA, the Palestinian Refugee Agency, that was suspended by a number of countries after these allegations by Israel. And we've reported Australia has resumed its funding, but the United States, the single biggest donor, still isn't funding. Is that another message that Leo Varadkar should bring to President Biden?
That certainly could be part of his message, because it would be important that the United States would resume funding. I'm very glad Australia has. I'm very glad that Ireland took the step not only of not cutting the funding, but increasing the funding at that critical time. UNRWA is vital. All of us who've been in the West Bank and in Gaza, and I've been several times to Gaza as an elder, we know the valuable and incredible role of UNRWA. Yes, if there are bad apples, UNRWA should deal with them. The point is, I don't think Israel has yet put forward enough evidence to address, but let UNRWA deal with that problem. Why was the funding stopped. It was as if UNRWA had to, you know, prove its innocence mm-hmm. rather than have guilt proven and then cut funding if you want to.
Yeah. But and in circumstances where there would be a cessation and aid begins to flow, UNRWA really is the only agency that has the resources, I think it's fair to say, to manage that.
Yeah, but would need an enormous amount of help. I mean, bodies like the World Resources Council have come up with very good ideas of, you know, protection units and other ways, and lots of people are thinking about ways of supporting UNRWA, but UNRWA is valuable, is invaluable, and it's the body on the ground, it's the employees on the ground, it knows the distribution, and it knows its people.
Right. Mrs. Robinson, if I could just raise one other question with you. War in Gaza and Ukraine, conflict elsewhere in the world, climate change, all of this resulting in the displacement of huge numbers of people right around the globe. We see the evidence here in this country of that, asylum seekers sleeping on the streets and so forth. Has the response of countries like ours, wealthy nations, secure nations, countries that are at peace, has it been sufficient?
No, it hasn't been sufficient. And it hasn't been sufficient because we need to really think with more long-view leadership, which is what the elders are very much promoting. Long-view leadership is resolving problems, not trying to manage them in an imperfect kind of way. Take the migration issue. We know that both conflict and climate are increasing people on the move. They can't help being on the move. They have to move. They're the braver people who move. Mm. And there need to be more legal ways of having access and then more control of borders so people aren't fearful. It's a two-way process. And, you know, Ireland is a rich country by world standards. We may not always feel this, but we are. And it is not really to our credit that we are seeing these tents in Mount Street at the moment. I mean, I don't want to talk about it particularly. I'm more chair of the elders on mm-hmm. a humanitarian issue mm-hmm. than trying to make a political point. But we should be able to do more, and I'm sure we can do more if we combined all the resources of the government, but also of local authorities, of any buildings that are vacant that would be appropriate, and talk to people before a building is used to avoid the kind of controversy that has arisen.
We're celebrating St. Patrick's Day this weekend. Is there still a welcome in Ireland, do you think, for people fleeing war and poverty?
I think, you know, we're in a complex kind of time, but you know, it's right that we celebrate Patrick's Day. It's right that we recognise all over the world. I mean, you know, great celebrations are happening in so many countries, which is why so many ministers have gone to different parts of the world. I'm a great believer that there's a time for national pride and celebration, but also we have to take our responsibilities and you know, come through on them at all levels.
Mary Robinson, thanks for talking to us on the News at One, and a very happy St. Patrick's Day to you and yours.
Thank you, Brian. Nice to talk to you, and good luck in your future.
Thank you.
As it happens, you've done a great job.
That's very kind. Thank you. Appreciate that. The Department of Education has said that schools and parents will be notified over the coming weeks when new special classes will be sanctioned for the next school year. Concern has been growing amongst parents of children with intellectual disabilities and autism who are seeking secondary school places for September. Our social affairs correspondent Alva Keneally has this report.
Are you ready? Ready? Steady? Throw? Go on. Throw. Go on, Sam. Every time you feel that you've reached a hurdle, there's a brick wall in the way.
And Greg Lewis and his wife Celine have reached their limit. Their 13-year-old son Sam is autistic, nonverbal, and is in sixth class. The reason his parents are frustrated is because they can't find a secondary school place for their son, despite starting the search last October. Each school requires applications running to 200 pages. Greg has driven around to schools, handed them in, but with no success.
The issue is because Sam has done so well within the mainstream environment, he's now at 13, can't get a place in a special school because a lot of the younger kids have gone in and there's no room at 13 to be put into a special school. And everything is being put back on us to print out forms for the schools. I mean, Sam's report has psychologists, occupational therapists, speech and language, school reports. I mean, it's over 200 pages ago.
Without a school place for Sam, the question now facing the couple is, who gives up work?
Trying to work out which one...
Who earns more money?
Who'll stay and who'll go to work?
As well, like, we can't ring up the bank and go, this is the story. You know, one of us have had to give up work because they have to earn, they have to get their money. You know, then Sam misses out on all the other activities and stuff that we pay for. We'd have to look at stopping his VHI, yeah. You know, which is very important.
Like, Sam has VHI, but the family don't. We pay for it just for Sam.
Yeah.
You know, and I work in a hospital.
Right.
Yeah, so
it's a problem facing many parents across the country, according to the CEO of Inclusion Ireland, Dervil McDonough.
So what we're hearing frequently is that children are applying to up to 20 to 30 schools. And unfortunately, they're only hearing last minute about whether they've been given access to a school place. So that obviously leads to unsatisfactory situations such as a lack of careful transition planning, a lack of support for children going into that school place. We really need to be moving way beyond the conversation about school places.
In a statement, the Department of Education said that planning is well underway ahead of the next school year, and this involves a particular focus on the provision of special classes at post-primary level. But for parents like Greg and Celine, who feel unsupported in their quest to find Sam a school place, that reassurance is of little comfort.
It's something I failed at. Our special needs kids are just treated like four-class citizens in their own country. And to get that brick wall down, you have to, like, it's a full thing of fight all the time. Nothing comes easy when you've got kids with special needs.
And that's Greg Lewis ending that report from Alva Keneally. The coroner in the Stardust inquest has begun her summary of the evidence for the jury as the almost year-long proceedings edge closer to a conclusion. It's expected that Dr. Myra Cullinan will address the jury for a number of days, after which they will then retire to deliberate on a verdict. Our reporter Conor Hunt joins us now with more from the hearing. So what was taking place there this morning, Conor?
Well, Brian, after 95 days of witness hearings and over 370 witnesses, the end of these long-running inquests, it seems now, is coming into sight. This morning, the coroner, Dr. Myra Cullinan, began her charge to the jury. This is where the evidence is summarised and also where possible verdicts open to them are explained to them as well. Now, she said the evidence had been vast and often distressing and said that the jury had displayed a great commitment. Directly speaking to the jurors, she said that they had the most important role at these inquests and said, we've now reached a point where that role crystallises, saying that they were the arbiters of facts and they would be the ones who'd have to deal with any conflict in evidence that they've heard. She also said she'd be instructing them on matters of law, what findings they are entitled to make and what verdicts are available to be returned. Then she went on to detail some of the evidence that we've heard about the planning and conversion of the Stardust Club and about the events leading up to the fire.
But her charge to the jury will take some time yet.
Yes, absolutely. We expect this part of the process. Certainly it won't finish today and it will run into next week, and we expect it to last over several days next week. There is a lot of evidence to get through. After that process ends, after the coroner finishes her address to the jury, it will then be over to them, the jury, to retire and to deliberate on a verdict. How long that will take, of course, no one really knows. But what is clear is that after hearing from so many witnesses, after so many days and for such a long stretch of time, there is a lot for them to weigh up.
Conor Hunt at the Stardust Inquest, thanks for that. Back with more after this short break.
Watch out. We've got a parade of offers coming through this St. Patrick's Day at Centra. Choose from a award-winning, delicious, inspired by Centra selected breakfast range. Any 5 for €10. Selected Tato 6-pack and Club Orange 1.75 litre, 150 each. And Guinness 8-can pack, only €13.26 plus deposit where applicable. Centra. Live every day. Enjoy a call sensibly.
In Gallarshin, Vohig mega hu fasuk, ni rau meg fiausu. Bias a ganalu gatapa, Vohig meg trina chela. Kra agus pian, fud me corp. Dol me ishka, ak nir vun me, an rau me kon bas all. Duras an ospidéal go raibh sepsis orm, agus go raibh sé pránach.
Déadach sepsis a cheilt taobh thiar d'aon in áitiú ag íseár bith. Bíag fear amach do na cóirí. Breis eolas ar hse.ie/sepsis. Ná bí eaglach ceiste chur, an bhféadfadh sepsis a bheith orm. Ón HSE.
RTÉ Radio 1.
Slash. Featuring Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators. Live at Three Arena Dublin, March 28th. The Icon returns. The River is Rising. Rest of the World Tour 2024. Slash. Featuring Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators. Tickets available now from Ticketmaster.ie.
Music updates on RTÉ Radio 1.
When watching from the heights, each moment seems small.
Jonathan gets a part, moves it infield.
But it's in these moments.
Bundy carries outside the 22.
It's the making of us all. Six Nations Championships. Moments are made.
He's got it!
The place has gone wild.
Experience the Six Nations with RTE. Ireland versus Scotland. Saturday at 4:45 on RTE Radio 1.
Hello again, you're listening to the news at 1. Detectives in West Cork are continuing to question 10 men arrested under anti-gangland legislation after what Gardaí believe was an aborted drugs delivery off the coast. A camper van and an articulated lorry were seized as part of the investigation. Our Southern editor, Pascal Sheehy, is in West Cork this lunchtime. What's the latest, Pascal?
Brian, I'm close to the slipway at Tregumna Beach, about 10 kilometres from Skibbereen in West Cork, and this is where it all unfolded, just as day was breaking yesterday morning. So those 10 men were on the slipway with the articulated truck with foreign number plates on it and a high-powered rib, a rigid inflatable boat. Something spooked them, something perhaps as simple as somebody who was out walking their dog in a high-vis jacket. That has been suggested to me by one local person I spoke to here this morning. The 10 tried to make their escape from the scene. One of them was arrested there. A short time later in Leppin, West Cork, Gardaí intercepted a camper van and arrested the occupants, handcuffed them and laid them on the road while they searched the camper van. Now, all 10 people arrested are being questioned in stations, Garda stations in West Cork, North Cork and in Cork City. Critically, in terms of this investigation, they can be held under anti-gangland legislation for a period of 7 days, and that gives Gardaí time to compare mobile phone records, who was talking to who, what text messages were being sent. So Gardaí have quite an amount of time in this investigation, and we really are only at the very early stages yet, hence all the details are not in the public domain.
Very good. Southern Editor Pascal Sheehy, thank you for that. It's a big weekend for the hospitality sector this weekend, and one presumes for the full Irish breakfast. Figures from the CSO today show the cost of the full Irish has risen by 3% over the past year, with sausages and rashers having risen while the price of bread and eggs and tea has gone down. Michael Lennon is owner and general manager of the Westport Woods Hotel in County Mayo, and he's on the line now. Michael, a very good afternoon to you and welcome to the programme, and indeed a happy St. Patrick's Day if I can jump in ahead of time. You're going to be busy this weekend. Is the full Irish still as popular as ever?
It is, yeah. Full Irish is very important. We serve it on the plate since COVID, I suppose, because people weren't big into their buffets, although we're probably going back to that now because of labour costs and trying to save a couple of bob in that area. But definitely, and to make the experience more efficient and give better choice to people as well. But the full Irish is bacon, egg and sausage and beans and tomatoes and mushrooms in some cases.
Right. And is it costing that bit more to put to serve?
Definitely, the prices have gone up to produce and procure all of these items. And since, like every business, prices of raw material has gone up, transport and delivering it, and just what our suppliers are telling us, and even I suppose making sure that there's enough of it there. There was a problem with eggs in Europe there in the last couple of years, and I know that put up the price because of some flu, avian flu, and it put up prices of eggs. And the butter is another big one, actually, and all the tea sants. I know you said tea is back, but coffee and tea to buy in bulk are still quite expensive.
Would it be fair to say that a cooked breakfast, whatever the ingredients, is particularly popular with groups that stay with you who are heading up Kilpatrick?
Definitely, yeah. They want their protein and carbohydrate in the morning before they go up. We have a group from Scotland in here this weekend, and I suppose they want to see the match, so they're going to claim Kilpatrick, I think, at 7 o'clock in the morning, so they'll get their nourishment before they go off.
And just looking ahead to the season that's coming down the track, Michael, how are bookings looking at this point?
It's looking quite good. We have a strong Northern Ireland market, British market it looks to what's on the books and the washdown, and definitely America. And hopefully interest rates will reduce as we go forward in the year, and the Irish home holiday market will keep coming to Westport. But Westport is strong. It's a good destination. We have Clew Bay here on our doorsteps, and as you say, Kilpatrick. And there's a lot of things for people to do, actually. Westport House is opening a new adventure park in May, and that's going to be great for the town. Okay. And we have it all in Westport and County Mayo.
Indeed you do.
Michael. Tony Blair said, Mayo is amazing. That's it.
Well, who'd argue with that? Michael Lennon from the Westport Woods, thanks very much indeed for that. Well, we're going to the courts next and to our crime correspondent, Paul Rounds, because the sentencing has taken place of the 38-year-old former Garda who severely beat and verbally abused his wife and her two children. Paul, this was the case involving the trial involving Mark Doyle.
That's correct, Brian. Judge Martin Nolan said today that the principal person he assaulted was his partner and wife, along with their two sons, over a long period involving punching, hair pulling, choking, kicking, throwing articles and attacking the boys. It was, he said, reprehensible behaviour. He said he couldn't control his temper and blamed his wife for his own bad behaviour. He also said it was noteworthy that the assaults took place in front of children, and that Mark Doyle had previously been a member of the Defence Forces and then a member of An Garda Síochána, and he was a Garda when he carried out these attacks. He also said that while Doyle had pleaded guilty, expressed remorse, and he could change his life, and is in another relationship which seems to be going well on the basis of the references that have been handed in, undoubtedly, the judge said, by his prolonged behaviour, he deserves a long custodial term. So he set a headline sentence of 10 years, but then, taking mitigating factors into account, Judge Martin Nolan sentenced the former Garda, Mark Doyle, to 6 years in prison today.
Paul Reynolds in the criminal courts, thank you for that. Now, people have been shopping once again in the building that once housed the famous Cleary's department store on Dublin's O'Connell Street. The first retail space has opened in the newly refurbished Cleary's Quarter, as it's called. Let's hear from some of those shopping in the new H&M store today. They spoke to our reporter, Maggie Doyle.
Just got to pick up T-shirts for Paddy's Weekend.
For Paddy's Weekend, we got some free vases, and we got 20% off because we're members.
Yeah.
It looks as though you mightn't have been shopping in Cleary's when it was here, but like, do you know anything about
it?
Okay, but what about the building itself, and did you know about the history of Cleary's and how important it is to have a shop open here again?
I think so, yeah, definitely, because we work in Arnott's as well, so it's definitely just trying to bring back a bit of life to the north side. Like, the south side has all the fun, they've all the shops, like, it's a whole different type of vibe, so I think more and more nice places opening up is going to be good for the whole of the north side and the whole of O'Connell Street, you know?
Yeah, I feel like since COVID, like, a lot of people changed to shopping online and, like, online deliveries and that, and the in-store kind of died down a little bit, but it's good to have everything back open again.
I bought two tops for myself and I got a 20% members discount, but I think I was already a member anyway, which I would have got anyway, but it was good to get the discount today. Lovely store.
I was going to say, so do you remember when it was Cleary's? Were you here, you know, in years gone by shopping?
I certainly do. I remember queuing to go see Santi on the big staircase there. It was absolutely fantastic with my parents. Hail, rain, snow, Christmas time, and a real pleasure to see the real Santi of Dublin City. So it's good to be back. Good to be shopping back in Cleary's.
Well, that's a memory I share as well. Maggie is here with us in the studio. I had a good look round today, Maggie. What's it like?
It did indeed, Brian. Didn't pick up any bargains myself, but, you know, it's always nice to have a brand new shop to go to, and this is in an iconic place. It has been beautifully refurbished, and H&M, the Swedish retail fashion store, bright and airy, they've taken up a 30,000 square foot space, and also next door to it, Decathlon will be opening there later in the summer. That's a big sport retailer. The owners are really pleased. I spoke with Derek McGrath. He's Managing Director of Core Capital, who are the developers, along with their partners behind the Cleary's Quarter in Dublin.
It's really a celebration for us seeing the department store finally, you know, coming back to life again. I posted this morning on my LinkedIn, it was like a phoenix rising from the ashes, and we really feel that it, you know, it is that. It's been a project for 5 years. It's been a project through COVID, which has had its own challenges. But we've always been really confident in the success of this scheme, in, you know, reinvigorating it and it being a kind of cornerstone for O'Connell Street.
And that's Derek McGrath ending that report from Maggie Doyle.
Sport on RTE Radio 1.
And it's a very good afternoon to Paul O'Neill. Paul.
Thanks, Brian. Good afternoon. We'll start with soccer, and holders Manchester City have been drawn to play Real Madrid in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. City will be away in the first leg. It's the third year in a row for the sides to be paired together in the knockout stages. Meanwhile, Arsenal will play Bayern Munich. The winners of that tie will face City or Real in the last four. Elsewhere in the quarterfinals, it'll be Atletico Madrid against Borussia Dortmund, and Paris Saint-Germain will meet Barcelona. In the Europa League quarterfinals, Liverpool will take on Atalanta. West Ham United's opponents will be Bayer Leverkusen, and in the Conference League, Aston Villa were drawn with Lille. Well, here at home, Shamrock Rovers will look to pick up their first win of the SSC or Tristy Men's Premier Division campaign tonight. Last year's champions will play Galway United at Eamon DC Park. In the other games, Shelburne will be away to St. Patrick's Athletic. Bohemians will play Derry City at Dalymount Park. Dundalk will host Waterford. Among the games in the First Division will be Cork City against Bray Wanderers at Turner's Cross. On to horse racing. On the final day of the Cheltenham Festival, the Willie Mullins trained Galopin Deschamps will be going for a second successive win in the Gold Cup. Brave Man's Game, Corrick Rambler and Faster Slow are expected to be his main rivals. The race is set to start at 3:30, but the action is already underway, and here's commentary from the BBC on the closing stages of the Triumph Hurdle, which was won by Majborough, trained by Mullins and ridden by Mark Walsh.
The last flight of hurdles. Majborough jumped in okay but leant out to the left. He might be in front. Cargese needs to battle back. These are clear of Salva, who's going to be placed in the Triumph Hurdle. But the winner of the Triumph Hurdle will be Majborough. Majborough's home to beat Cargese. Salva, Nürburgring stayed on.
Well, Skovnex and Rory McIlroy shares the lead on 7 under par with Wyndham Clark, Matt Fitzpatrick and Xander Schauffele in the second round of the Players' Championship in Florida. McIlroy will tee off at 5:40 Irish time, with Shane Lowry 1 under at the moment on the course and Seamus Power level par. In rugby union, the final series of games in the under 26 Nations Championship will take place tonight, with Ireland hoping that a win over Scotland in Cork will clinch the title for them. And finally, for now, it's cricket, and Ireland will face Afghanistan in Sharjah today in the first of three T20 internationals between the teams. Well, there's more sport on the RT News app and RTE.ie. Brian.
Thank you indeed for that, Paul. That's all from us this lunchtime. Our team today, Harry Buckless was on sound. The broadcast coordinator, Stephen Higgins. The editor of the News at 1 was Adele McAllister. Do stay tuned for Liveline. That's next. But from me, Brian Dobson, and all the team here, thanks for listening, and hope you have a great St. Patrick's Day weekend.
Did you know there's a 1 in 3 lifetime risk of developing shingles? The risk of shingles increases with age and in those with weakened immune systems. Patients describe shingles as a burning, stabbing or itching feeling, usually accompanied by a painful rash. Ask your doctor, pharmacist or practice nurse about shingles and visit understandingshingles.ie to learn more. Understanding Shingles, brought to you by GSK in association with Chronic Pain Ireland.